హరే కృష్ణ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. మార్నింగ్ వీ డిస్కస్డ్ టిల్ ది 13th చాప్టర్. సో నౌ వీల్ డిస్కస్ ది 14th చాప్టర్. ఇన్ ది 13th చాప్టర్ నారదముని కేమ్ ఎన్లైటెండ్ యుధిష్ఠిర బికాస్ హీ వాజ్ లామెంటింగ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది డిపార్చర్ ఆఫ్ గంధారి, ధృతరాష్ట్ర అండ్ విదుర. సో నారదముని ఎన్లైటెండ్ హిమ్ అండ్ హీ లెఫ్ట్. సో యుధిష్ఠిర మహారాజ్ వాజ్ స్టేయింగ్ ఎట్ హస్తినాపుర్ కింగ్డమ్. సో అర్జున యాక్చువల్లీ వాజ్ ఇన్ ద్వారక at that time. So Arjuna went to Dwaraka to know the next program of Krishna, and 7 months passed and Arjuna did not come back. So meanwhile Yudhishthira Maharaj was observing so many inauspicious omens in the kingdom. So they were quite uncommon in Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom. So he was sharing with Bhima. He said 7 months passed, Arjuna did not come, and I see so many inauspicious omens are coming, irregularities are there in the seasons, and the mentality of people is changing. So is the Lord going to quit his pastimes as Narada Muni hinted? So he was suspecting like that. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also saw so many symptoms. He was describing all that. He saw inauspicious symptoms in people's bodies, and animals are behaving in certain ways, birds were behaving in different way, పంచభూతాస్ ఎర్త్ వాటర్ ఫైర్ ఎయిర్ ఈథర్ ఆర్ బిహేవింగ్ ఇన్ లిటిల్ అన్కామన్ వేస్ నాట్ కామన్లీ అబ్జర్వ్డ్ ఇన్ యుధిష్ఠిర్ మహారాజ్ కింగ్డమ్. దెన్ క్యాటిల్స్, డీటీస్, ప్లేసెస్, ఆల్ దిస్ హీ వాజ్ అబ్జర్వింగ్. అండ్ యాజ్ హీ వాజ్ డిస్కసింగ్ విత్ భీమ, అర్జున అరైవ్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద్వారక. అర్జున లుక్డ్ సో మొరోస్ అండ్ డిజెక్టెడ్. హిస్ హెడ్ వాజ్ డౌన్, హీ వాజ్ ఇన్ టీయర్స్. యుధిష్ఠిర్ మహారాజ్ questioned Arjuna. So he first asked about the welfare of all the relatives, Yadus. You are coming from Dwaraka. So how are the Yadus? How is Surasena, Vasudev and his wives? And are their sons and daughter-in-laws, all of them happy? How is Ugrasena doing? Hridika, Akrura, Balaram, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Like that he took all the prominent names of Dwaraka Vasis and inquired about their welfare, and he also summarized their activities in short in one or two lines. And he also made an inquiry about the queens of Krishna and Balaramji and other heroes of Yadu dynasty, and how they are enjoying in Sudharma assembly hall. Bhagavan api govindo brahmanyo bhaktavatsalah kachit pure sudharmayam sukham aste suhridvratah. So are they happily enjoying in the Sudharma assembly hall under the protection of Krishna and Balaram? So he asked like that. Still Arjuna did not give any response. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked some specific questions about the personal welfare of Arjuna. So far he was asking about the welfare of all the relatives. Later he started asking about personal inquiries about Arjuna's health and other things. He said, is your health all right? Or are you disrespected or neglected by someone? Are you threatened by someone with unfavorable words? Or did you fail to give charity? A kshatriya, when he fails to give charity, he feels very morose. Or could you not give shelter to deserving people? Or did you contact a woman of bad character? Or did you not entertain a woman who deserves to be with you? Or have you been defeated by someone who is inferior to you or equal to you? Because Kshatriya cannot tolerate defeat in the hands of an inferior definitely, and sometimes in the hands of equal also. But if a superior defeats him, it's okay. If Bhishma defeats Arjuna, it's all right. But if Karna defeats Arjuna, Arjuna can't handle it, right? So did you fail to take care of old men and boys, children? Or have you committed any unpardonable mistake? If someone does an unpardonable mistake, he feels very dejected. So these are the 10 reasons why Arjuna could have been in such a dejected disposition. So why Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking so many questions? Can't he understand what's happening with Arjuna? So he asked this last question. Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your intimate friend, Lord Krishna? So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked so many speculative questions to Arjuna. Because although his intelligence could feel that Krishna must have disappeared from this planet, his heart is unable to accept that fact. So, although he got hints from Vidura, Vidura did not answer, and later he also hinted, or Narada Muni hinted in the previous chapter, and in this chapter Yudhishthira Maharaj observed so many inauspicious omens. With all these sufficient clues, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is a very intelligent person, very advanced in knowledge, he could have easily figured out that Krishna must have disappeared. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, although his intelligence could feel it, his heart is unable to accept this fact. So he was thinking that, oh, maybe Krishna is still there, right? He was hoping like that. He was hoping against hope. For example, your favorite object, maybe your laptop you give to someone, your friend, and another friend comes and tells you, that person has broken your laptop. He was sitting on the third floor, right, on the terrace, and he was working, laptop fell down from there. It has been broken into pieces. Someone will give you that message. Till you actually see the condition of the laptop, there is a hope inside, right? That, oh, maybe he was joking with me. Or, I have given to a responsible person, why will he do like that? Right? How can he work on terrorists like that? Or, even if it got damaged, maybe it's not permanently damaged, completely damaged, it's a small repair only. So like that, there is a hope, right? Till you actually know for sure that the damage has happened, right? Same thing Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj is also feeling. Till he hears a confirmed news that Krishna disappeared, he does not want to believe it. He does not want to guess it himself, right? He does not want to accept the truth completely. So finally, after asking, you know, 100 questions, he could not understand any other reason. He could not think of any other possible reason. With his all speculative power, he could not think of any other possible reason why Arjuna could be so dejected. So finally, he had to frankly ask this question. Did Krishna disappear? So that is the extent to which Yudhishthira Maharaj or the other Pandavas love Krishna. They love Krishna so much, so they can't accept the fact that Krishna disappeared. That is why Arjuna, Narada Muni did not reveal this news. That is why Vidura did not reveal this news. Now, the news came to be revealed through Arjuna to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So that is the end of the 14th chapter. Now we enter the 15th chapter. 15th chapter begins with the response of Arjuna. So Arjuna was already overwhelmed with such feelings of separation, intense separation. Out of all the Pandavas, Arjuna is more dear to Krishna, and he spends more time with Krishna. Because Yudhishthira is little elder, and he also, Nakula and Bhima also little elder only than Krishna. So I don't have any reference to say that. But Arjuna is considered equal, and Nakula and Sahadeva are younger to Krishna. So being equals, so they are much more close, and they are Naranarayan also. And also, they spend a lot of time with each other. So Arjuna's feelings of separation were more intense. Arjuna was so grief-stricken. So with great effort, he gained his composure and started responding to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And when Arjuna came, he offered obeisances to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He did not forget that etiquette. So then he stood silent. Now he started speaking. So Arjuna's strong feelings of separation are expressed in these two verses.
Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Yena Me Bahritam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat
Vanchitoham Maharaja. Oh Maharaja Yudhishthir, I have been cheated. Right? Harina Bandhurupina. Lord Hari appeared as my relative and now he has disappeared. Next, Yename Apahartam Tejo. Along with his disappearance, my prowess also disappeared. Right? Deva Vismapanam Mahat. My power was so glorious, I could mesmerize even great demigods, I could defeat them, I could kill so many demons. Still, that power is completely gone because of the disappearance of Krishna. So it's not with me anymore. So he was not lamenting for the loss of his powers, he was lamenting for the loss of the association of his intimate friend Krishna. And how much pain that separation caused to Arjuna, that is mentioned in the next verse. Yasya kshana viyogena loko hiyapriya darshanaha ukthena rahito hesha mritaka prochyate yatha. Yasya kshana viyogena, a moment of separation from Krishna would render all universes void. Loko hi apriya darshanaha ukthena rahito hesha. All the universes appear void and null, devoid of life. They appear like dead bodies. Right, mrtakah prochyatayata, they appear like dead bodies. That is the extent to which Arjuna felt separation from Krishna. If a moment of separation can cause such overwhelming feelings in Arjuna, what to speak of a permanent disappearance? They can't handle it. For example, Dasharath Maharaj, he is a great devotee of Lord Ram. So Vishwamitra came to Dasharath Maharaj and said, I am doing a yajna, please help me. Then Dasharath Maharaj said, whatever help you want, I will come. I will offer you. My entire kingdom, myself and my army, whatever I have is at your service. You ask whatever help you want. Then Vishwamitra said, send me Ram. Right, you have to send Lord Ram along with me. Then Dasharath Maharaj said, that I can't do. Just now you promised. How can you take back your words? You are from Ikshvaku dynasty. Then I will come, right? I am a Maharathi, I have so many people along with me. He said, I don't want any one of them. I want you, I want Ram only. So Dasharath Maharaj was taking a risk of his life with Vishwamitra. Right? Vishwamitra is not like any other muni, right? When he becomes angry, only God knows what he does. So still Dasharath Maharaj was unable to send Lord Ram along with Vishwamitra because that is his love and affection for Lord Ram. Vasishtha came and told, you can send. So a lot of counseling happened. So Dasharatha Maharaj finally had sent him. So Dasharatha Maharaj could not tolerate separation from Lord Ram even for a short amount of time. And later Kaikeyi said, send Lord Ram to Vanavas. Then Dasharatha Maharaj was obliged to send. 14 years separation. So Dasharatha Maharaj could not tolerate a moment separation. No, 14 years separation. So Dasharatha Maharaj gave up his life only. He could not tolerate separation. Ram went to Vanavas. Just in a couple of days, Dasharatha Maharaj left body out of separation from Lord Ram. So Dasharatha Maharaj knows that Ram would come back in 14 years. Dasharatha Maharaj knows Ram would go with Vishwamitra in a few days, he will come back to Ayodhya. So he could not tolerate even a temporary separation also from Lord Ram. How can Pandavas, having such intimate relationship with Krishna, tolerate a permanent separation? Darshana sparsha samlapa shayanasana bhojanaihi. Morning we have seen how Pandavas were having such intimate loving exchanges with Krishna. When we have six loving exchanges with people, there is a bondage created. Right? And any reason for separation with those people with whom we had such six loving exchanges would be a cause of intense pain to a person. So we need to carefully invest our time in exchanging this six loving exchanges with devotees so that their association will protect us. If we have six loving exchanges with someone who does not deserve, then those memories will capture. Right? So these Pandavas had these loving exchanges with directly Krishna. So they could not tolerate that separation. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was aggrieved and Arjuna was equally or if not more aggrieved. Now, Arjuna goes into an ecstatic remembrance of all the activities of Krishna. So, in separation, what gives solace to devotees is remembrance. And when a devotee remembers, he is as good as in the association of Krishna. Right? That remembrance acts as union. So, Arjuna remembers all the favors done by Krishna. Just like Uddhava was asked some questions by Vidura in the third canto, first chapter. Then Uddhava was overwhelmed by feelings of separation and he started remembering all the activities of Krishna. Now Arjuna started remembering activities of Krishna, especially the favors that Krishna has done. I won over Draupadi only because of Krishna. Krishna empowered me, right, in that piercing that fish. There is a big arrangement that is done at the place of Draupadi Swayamvar. He has to see the shadow of fish and attack the fish. So Krishna helped him. Then only because of Krishna's mercy I could defeat Indra. And I helped Agni to devour this Khandava forest. And thus Mayadanava became our servant or helper. He created Mayasabha for us. So all this happened because of Krishna only. Next, only because of Krishna's mercy, Bhima could kill Jarasandha. Only because of Krishna's mercy, I could kill all the people who offended Draupadi in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he killed them. Only because of Krishna's mercy, we were saved from the anger of Durvasa Muni. So Duryodhan had the ability to please even Durvasa. So he pleased Durvasa and he requested Durvasa, "You go to Pandavas, there in Vanavas, at so and so place. You ask them for prasad. And you go at so and so specific time." So Durvasa Muni went with his so many thousands of disciples and he asked for food. He said, "I'll take bath, by the time you be ready." Then Krishna came and Akshayapatra was no more giving any food. So Krishna just took one particle of food from Akshayapatra and he ate it and he was satisfied. Because he was satisfied, all these people were belching, all the sages, Durvasa and other people. So that is how Durvasa's wrath could not touch the Pandavas because of Krishna's mercy. And Arjuna got this Pashupatastra by astonishing even Lord Shiva. That is also by Krishna's mercy. And Arjuna could kill this Nivata Kavacha demons and also he regained the cows of Virata kingdom. Right? In that Virata Parva, this Kauravas would come and attack this Virata kingdom. Then they also steal the cows. Then Arjuna protected the cows. So all this happened because of Krishna's mercy. And what to speak of Kurukshetra war. So Krishna helped me in so many ways in Kurukshetra war. So like that Arjuna recollected all the intimate moments with Krishna and all the favors that Krishna has done. Then he remembered all the frank talks and smiles of Krishna. And sometimes Arjuna also would start joking with Krishna as if he were an ordinary college friend. So he would just kind of joke, "Oh, you have so much power, we know." Like that in a sarcastic way he would say. So Krishna would tolerate all those jokes. And now in Krishna's absence, I was defeated even by some infidel cowherds. So I am that same Arjuna. Tadvai dhanushta ishavas saratho hayaste soham rathi nrupatayo yata anamanti. Sarvam kshanena tadabhud asadisha ruktam bhasmam hutam kuhakaradham ivoptamushyam. I am the same Arjuna, I have the same chariot, I have the same horses, I have the same gandiva bow, I have the same arrows, but I could not win over even cowherds also. So all my prowess are like oblations in asses or money created by some magician. That doesn't have value, right? So I have become so useless. So Prabhupada writes in this context that no one can be proud of borrowed plumes of feather. So skills are given to a devotee for the execution of some service of the Lord. And once the service is done, those skills or powers are withdrawn from the Lord. This is true even for great demigods. This is true even for pure devotees like Arjuna. So one should not be proud of those powers. Those powers are given by the Lord for a service and will be taken back after the service is done. One should not be attached to the powers. One should not be proud because of exhibiting those powers, because all those powers belongs to Krishna. And why Krishna will take back these powers even from pure devotees? Because these powers are not needed for the devotee to go back to Godhead. What is needed by the devotee? Devotee has to have love for Krishna. Devotee should have service attitude to render service to Krishna. So that is the property of devotee. How he manages his minute independence or free will to engage in Krishna's service, so that inclination is his property. Skills are not his property. All the accomplishments that he has done, it's not his property. How much love he develops for Krishna, how much service attitude he develops, that is his property. So that property is always preserved. So Arjuna's love for Krishna is not gone. But all the powers of Krishna with which he mesmerized all the demigods, they are gone. All the military skills of Arjuna, they are gone. Right? Because they are not needed for going back to Godhead. To love Krishna, powers are not needed. So those powers are needed for service. He engaged in that service. So Arjuna was feeling like that. Now Arjuna reveals the news of Yadu dynasty's annihilation. How such ghastly disappearance of Yadus has happened. He narrates. They were cursed by Brahmanas. All were intoxicated. They fought amongst themselves with canes. And except 4 or 5 of them, entire Yadu dynasty was annihilated. So finally, Arjuna focuses on Lord's instructions. Instructions from Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says that when Arjuna was about to fight a war, then Krishna gave him the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. So those instructions were relevant to inspire Arjuna to fight, to do his duty. Now Krishna disappeared, Arjuna has no more duties to perform. Now Arjuna was in feelings of separation. Even in this context also, Arjuna was pacified by remembering the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. That means Bhagavad Gita instructions are always relevant. That is the lesson that Prabhupada gives in those purports. So Arjuna could be pacified only by remembering Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita. So I remember his instructions and feel relief from burning heart. Arjuna was pacified remembering his instructions. All the trash in his thoughts subsided. He again became lord of his senses, situated in transcendence. So these feelings of separation from the beloved, especially from pure devotees and from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so they are actually nourishing. Right? Devotee becomes overwhelmed in feelings of separation. However, devotee does not ignore his next duty in those feelings of separation. He does not ignore the service. So what was the duty of Arjuna now? To plan for his retirement. That is the service that is left for him, last service that was left for him to execute. So Arjuna focuses on how to execute that service by remembering the instructions of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes in Uddhava's episode also that when a devotee remembers Krishna in his absence, when a devotee renders service to Krishna in his absence, there is factually no separation. So Krishna unites with a devotee in the form of his remembrance, in the form of his service. So as long as one is engaged in service, there is no separation. As long as one is remembering the Lord, there is no separation. So Arjuna could also, this happened with Arjuna also. Next, Yudhishthira Maharaj hearing after all this narration, he plans for his retirement. So he desired to retire, and Kunti Maharani also had the whole thing, and she engages in bhakti. And Yudhishthira Maharaj enthrones Parikshit Maharaj at Hastinapur. He enthrones Vajra, Krishna's grandson, at Dwaraka. And he renounces everything. He starts traveling towards north. And all the Pandavas also follow. And Draupadi follows, Subhadra follows. So all of them planned their retirement. Here, Yudhishthira Maharaj planned his retirement. He was not dependent on his brothers. For the running of kingdom, Yudhishthira Maharaj was dependent on his brothers. Every now and then he will call his brothers and gives them some services and dispatches them through different places, get wealth from here, take care of this issue there. So like that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was getting full support from his brothers till now. in the management of the kingdom, in the execution of various services. But now it is the time to go back to Godhead. Now it is the time to exclusively focus on Krishna alone, no other responsibilities. That task a devotee has to do himself. Nobody will come and support. In this context only Prabhupada writes, everybody has to fly his own plane. Right? In the air he may not get support. As long as he is in the airport, he may get support. But when he is flying, he has to fly his own plane. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, without depending on his brothers, he departed. And all the brothers also, without depending on each other, they departed. And nobody was looking at Draupadi. So Draupadi also, she focused on Krishna. She also became an exalted devotee. She also attained perfection. So Bhadra also followed the same. So like that, one's sadhana, one's connection with Krishna, one has to work oneself, taking inspiration from the devotees. But ultimately, one has to take individual responsibility for one's spiritual progress. Other association of devotees will act as a support, as an uddipan, inspiration, like that. So like that, Pandavas retired. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is the king of Hastinapur. What did he do as a king is the subject matter of next two chapters. Parikshit Maharaj married the daughter of King Uttara. He begot four sons. The eldest son was named Janamejaya. He performed three horse sacrifices. And he chastised Kali in the dress of a Sudra. So in this context, this is the 16th chapter. Savanaka Rishi has a very important question. What was the question? Why did Parikshit Maharaj punish Kali? Why can't he kill Kali? He could have killed Kali, right? And he says, I want to know the answer for this question. And only if it is connected with Krishna Katha, you give me the answer. Otherwise, I don't want the answer. Right? Athavasya padam bhoja makarandaliham satam kimanyair asadalapair ayisho yad asad vyayaha. People unnecessarily waste their lives in hearing topics other than Krishna Katha. But those who are expert in relishing the nectar at the lotus feet of the Lord, they hear only Krishna Katha, no other substandard topics. So, I asked this question, if it is related to Krishna Katha, then you reveal the answer. So like that, he asks a question to Suta Goswami. No, Suta Goswami narrates. Once Parikshit Maharaj was hearing about the effects of Kali, how Kali was encroaching upon his kingdom, how the behavior and character of certain people is slightly changing. So Parikshit Maharaj was very alarmed. He took his sword, he took his chariot and went to conquer. So Parikshit Maharaj was not very happy to hear the news because people are affected by Kali. And Parikshit Maharaj was also happy to hear the news because that gave him an opportunity to fight. Kshatriyas are always eager to fight, right? So Parikshit Maharaj travelled. So he travelled to so many places, and wherever he goes, he would hear the glorification of his grandfathers, Pandavas. How glorious they are. Such, they are such wonderful devotees. They are so intimately connected with Pandavas. So like that, he hears the glorification of Pandavas wherever he goes. So at some place, he would hear how Krishna served the Pandavas in various capacities. Sarathya parishada sevana sakhya dautya virasana anugamanastavana pranaman snigdheshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor bhaktim karoti nrupatischarana aravinde. Krishna acted in the capacity of Sarathi, a chariot driver. Parishada, a receiver of Agrapuja in the big assembly of Rajasuya sacrifice. Sevana, as a servant. Sakhya, as a friend. Dautya, as a messenger. Virasana, as a night watchman. Anugamana, following in the footsteps of Pandavas. Stavana, praising them. Pranaman, offering obeisances to them. So Krishna is doing all these things, although he is Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnur. He is the source of all Vishnus, and all the universes would come and offer obeisances at the lotus feet of Krishna. Still, he does all this. Why? Because Snigdheshu Pandushu. All the Pandavas are malleable to the will of the Lord. So this is the glorification done by all the citizens of Parikshit Maharaj. Bhaktim karoti nrupatischarana aravinde. So hearing all this glorification, Parikshit Maharaj offered obeisances to the lotus feet of the Lord. So as Parikshit Maharaj was traveling, one incident took place. So this is a conversation between bull and cow. This bull is the personification of dharma. That cow is Mother Earth, Dharani. So Dharani and Dharma were having a conversation. So Dharma was asking Dharani, why are you lamenting, my dear cow? Are you thinking about a distant friend? That means, through all these questions, Dharma was actually pointing out the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Right? Are you thinking about a distant friend means, in Kali Yuga, close relatives cannot stay together. Right? Parents are in India and sons are in America. Our husband is in this company, wife is in some other company working. So children are somewhere studying and parents are living somewhere else. Like that, there is always a distance between close relatives. Right? They just have to interact on WhatsApp or mobiles. So distant friend. And are you lamenting because of my condition? I lost 3 legs. Dharma was standing on 1 leg only at that time, barely. So in Kali Yuga, Dharma stands barely on 1 leg, and towards the end, that 1 leg is also gone. So are you lamenting because of the exploitation of meat eaters? In Kali Yuga, the condition of cows is very poor. They are slaughtered. And are you lamenting because demigods are bereft of sacrificial offerings? That means in Kali Yuga, sacrifices are not performed properly. So demigods would not get oblations. Are you lamenting for the sufferings of others? Are you lamenting because of the unhappy women and children? They are not protected properly in Kali Yuga. Are you unhappy because of the mishandled goddess of learning? Goddess of learning means education is mishandled by some unscrupulous people in Kali Yuga. And are you lamenting because of the disrespectful brahmanas? Are administrators who are creating so much disorders in the kingdom? And are you lamenting because people unrestrictedly engage in sinful activities? Or are you lamenting because Krishna is no more there on your surface? When Krishna was on your surface, there was a lot of prosperity in earth. Now when Krishna is not there, no more prosperity. So are you lamenting because of that? So like that he asks so many questions. So Dhara responds, what you have told is true. What is unknown to you, my dear Dharma? You know everything, but still I will answer your questions. She said, once you were maintained with 4 legs. Dharma was standing on 4 legs at once upon a time. And she describes various transcendental qualities of the Lord, 40 qualities of the Lord. Now I am missing that Lord who exhibited such transcendental qualities in his manifest pastimes. So I lament for myself, I lament for you, your condition, I lament for the demigods, sages, pitris, and whatever you have mentioned. So I lament for all of them. And especially I lament for the separation from the Lord. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya premavaloka ruchirasmita valgu jalpaihi sthairyam samanamaharan madhumanininam romotsavo mamayadanghri vitankitaya. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. Who can tolerate the pangs of separation from Purushottama, Krishna? Premavaloka, by his loving glances. Ruchirasmita, by his pleasing smiles. Valgujalpaihi, by his hearty appeals. Sthairyam samana maharan madhumanininam. He would subdue the passionate wrath of sweethearts like Satyabhama. So when he was traversing on my surface, Romotsavo, all my hairs were standing on end. I was celebrating. All the grasses are considered the hairs on Mother Earth. They were standing on end. Romotsavo mama yadanghri vitankitaya. Now Krishna's lotus feet would not traverse on my surface anymore. I am lamenting for that. She says, and especially in Vrindavan, Krishna walks barefoot. Krishna wears slippers everywhere else, but he walks barefoot. So Vrindavan is a special ornament of earth planet. And out of all the devotees of Krishna, one devotee got the maximum association of Krishna. That is Mother Earth. Right? So Wherever Krishna is, whether he is in Vrindavan or Mathura or Dwaraka or Hastinapur or Kashi or this so and so, he goes to kidnap Rukmini to Bhishmaka's place. So he goes so many places. He goes to Ayodhya also to meet Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. In all these pastimes of Krishna, Krishna is with certain devotees at certain points, but he is always with Mother Earth throughout his 125 years. So Mother Earth got the maximum association. How much separation she would feel, right? When Krishna was in Dwaraka, Hastinapur vases are in separation. When Krishna is in Hastinapur, Dwaraka vases are in separation. When Krishna went to Mathura, this Vrindavan vases are in separation. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, Mathura vases were in separation. But wherever Krishna is, Mother Earth is having his association. So she is having maximum separation. So this conversation was going on. Then Parikshit Maharaj arrived there. And this conversation between bull and cow was not seen by anyone and everyone. Right? It's not that it's happening on the road and everyone could see. Only Parikshit Maharaj was given a very special vision to witness this conversation. Right? How Mother Earth took the form of a cow, how bull, Dharma took the form of a bull, and they were conversing and Kali is punishing them. This whole vision was seen to the mystic, yogic vision of Parikshit Maharaj, not to anyone and everyone. So Parikshit Maharaj observed it. He observed the bull's condition. He was trembling on one leg. He had observed the cow's condition. She was looking very poor, weak, and she had tears in her eyes. So this is the condition of cow and bull in Kali Yuga. So Parikshit Maharaj spoke in a very deep voice. In the absence of Krishna and Balaram, you, Sudra, you are trying to kill and punish or trouble helpless, innocent creatures like cow and bull. What do you think? No one else is there or what? I am there, the follower of Krishna and Balaram. I will punish you. But Parikshit Maharaj wanted a statement of accusation from the bull and cow. So before actually punishing, immediately he took his sword to punish Kali, but before punishing, he wanted to hear a statement from bull. So he turned his attention towards the bull. He asked, are you a demigod in the form of bull? You look so white. So under the Kuru kings, up till now, no one has been suffering like this so piteously. As long as I am there, you have no reason to lament or cry. I will protect. It is my duty. I shall subdue the suffering of all my subjects. Who has cut off your three legs? Let me know. And bull might say, okay, you are king of this place. You may punish some human beings if they are around. But if demigods have caused suffering to me, what you will do? Then Parikshit Maharaj would say, I will punish your offenders even if they are demigods. You just tell me who caused suffering. Although it is quite evident to me, still, I want a statement from you. Please tell me. It is the duty of a king to protect and protect the people who are following the scriptures and punish the people who are deviating from the scriptures. You let me know. Then Dharma told Parikshit, your words cause fearlessness. But I can't give you an actual statement, although you want to note down. But still, I am bewildered by so many opinions. I actually don't know the cause. Some philosophers say Atmanam, one's own self, is the cause. Some other philosopher says Daivam, the supernatural powers are the cause. Some say karma is the cause, one's own activities, mimamsakars. And Lokayata say that Swabhavam, one's own nature, is the cause of suffering. So like that, different people have, different philosophers give different reasons for the cause of suffering. But I don't understand. Apratarkyat anirdeshyat. What I understand is, it is difficult to understand the cause of our distress. Apratarkyat. It is beyond one's power of reasoning and logic. Anirdeshyat. Means it is beyond the power of one's thinking. And it cannot be expressed in words. So you use your advanced intelligence and figure out who is the cause of our suffering. So Parikshit Maharaj was very happy. He was pleased to hear this reply. So in this purports, Prabhupada gives brilliant insights that a devotee would never blame another person for his suffering, for his lamentation. As soon as some distress comes upon a person, immediately the conditioned soul wants to find a reason. Whom should I blame? Right? Whom should I blame for my condition now? But devotee's disposition is not to blame someone, but to understand that Krishna has mercifully arranged this experience for me because of my own past deeds. So I have to experience it. And I should not blame the person through which this treatment is coming. I can't blame the instrument of my karma. He is like a postman delivering my karma in my hands. So that is how devotee thinks. Although exalted devotees are beyond the scope of prarabdha karma, although the experiences, the tribulations that they undergo are not because of prarabdha karma, but because of Krishna's will only, still, devotee's understanding is tattenu kampa swasamikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. All these are token punishments given to me because of my own deeds. That is how devotee understands. So dharma is exemplifying that. So Parikshit Maharaj was very impressed and pleased. Oh, you must be none other than dharma, because you are never blaming anyone. So you speak dharma, certainly you are dharma. So lots energies cannot be estimated by mental speculation. So once you are standing on four legs, tapas shaucham daya satyam iti padah krite kritah adharmam sair trayo bhagnaha. Because of adharma, three legs have been broken. Smaya sangamada istava. Smaya sangamada. Because of these three illicit activities, dharma is reduced. Now he is standing on one leg only. So Kali is trying to destroy that one leg also. So previously, by the touch of Lord's lotus feet, earth's burden was removed. Earth being ruled by the lower classmen laments her future. Now I understand the whole situation. Next, immediately, Parikshit Maharaj turns towards Kali. He says, he takes up a sword to kill Parikshit, to kill Sudra, Kali. You are dressed in the form of a king, although you are not qualified to be a king. I will immediately kill you. This is first attempt. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to kill Kali. But understanding that Parikshit Maharaj is going to kill me, this Kali removed the dress of a king and immediately fell flat at Parikshit Maharaj's lotus feet. So how can Parikshit Maharaj kill a surrendered person? So he said, okay, because you have surrendered unto me, you have taken my shelter, I will not kill you. So it is not Kshatriya's nature to kill a person who is falling at his feet. So I will not kill you, don't worry. But you cannot stay in my kingdom. This is the second attempt of Kali to eliminate. A second attempt of Parikshit Maharaj to eliminate Kali. First he wanted to kill. Second, he wanted to chase him away from the kingdom when he surrendered. Then Kali said, wherever I go is your kingdom only. Where will I go? Right? So, at least give me some places where I can stay within your kingdom without disturbing you. Then Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, you have taken my shelter, so it is my responsibility to give you shelter somewhere. Okay, I give you shelter at these four places. Wherever four regulative principles are broken, you can stay there. Wherever there is meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, you can stay at these four places. Then Kali said, I can't find any place like that in your kingdom. So you are apparently giving me four residences, but you have not given me any residence only. Give me one more place. Then Parikshit Maharaj says, okay, I will give you one more place, that is gold. Wherever there is wealth, there is a possibility that people might commit this kind of activities. So you can stay where gold is there. So like that, Parikshit Maharaj first wanted to kill him, but Kali surrendered. Then Parikshit Maharaj wanted to chase him away from kingdom, but Kali requested for places. Parikshit Maharaj gave four places that are not existent in his kingdom. Then Kali asked for one more place. Parikshit Maharaj gave him gold and utilized all the gold and all wealth in his kingdom to perform Krishna conscious activities. When wealth is engaged in Krishna conscious activities, Kali cannot stay there. But when wealth is used for unmentionable purposes, Kali will enter there. So Parikshit Maharaj made sure that Kali will have no existence in his kingdom. Although so many obstacles were coming, his determination to eliminate Kali did not go. Right? So thus Parikshit Maharaj made Kali practically residenceless. So in this context, Suta Goswami gives a caution note. One who desires progress in spiritual life should always stay aloof from these four principles. That's why, like in our sampradaya, there is these vows. Next, Parikshit Maharaj established the last legs of bull and improved the situation of earth, and he was ruling very wonderfully. Then Suta Goswami says, you sages were able to perform this sacrifice only because of Parikshit Maharaj's expert administration. Right? So after saying this, Suta Goswami summarizes the activities of Parikshit Maharaj. He summarizes his birth, death and activities. Parikshit Maharaj's birth is glorious because he was protected by Krishna within the womb. Parikshit Maharaj's death is glorious because he surrendered to the Lord at the time of his death. Right? A snake bird came and beat him, but he surrendered to the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj's activities are glorious because he chastised even Kali personified. Right? So, Prabhupada says, what is the, this Suta Goswami says, what is the key for glorious death? Na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamurtam syat sambhramontakale bismaratam tat padambujam. One who has dedicated his life for the transcendental topics of the Lord will not run into any confusions or misconceptions even at the time of death. At the time of death, a person is completely bewildered. He cannot think properly, he cannot act properly, he cannot do anything properly, he cannot even speak properly. In such condition also, a devotee can have very clear consciousness, devoid of any confusions, if he has lived an entire life based on Krishna consciousness, dedicating to the topics of Krishna, dedicating to the glorious activities of Krishna. So, Parikshit Maharaj is like that. Whole life he lived like that. And another best example for this verse is Srila Prabhupada. He was translating Srimad Bhagavatam even on the deathbed. Right? At the time of death, when one's brain cannot function properly, Prabhupada is giving purports that will be like law books for the next 10,000 years at least. Right? So Prabhupada had such clear consciousness. So after saying this, Parikshit Maharaj, another glory is, he saw one good quality in Kali. That's why he did not kill him. This whole discussion is coming because Saunakrishi asked a question. Why Parikshit Maharaj did not kill Kali? He punished Kali only. So now he is concluding the discussion. He said, Nanudveshti Kalim Samrat Saranga Evasarabhuk Kushalanyasha Shuddhyanti Netarani Kritaniyat. Kali has a very good quality, one good quality. What is that? If people think of performing some good activities, they will get the benefit. But in other yugas, they have to actually perform those good activities till to derive the benefit. So that is one good quality of Kali Yuga. So Parikshit Maharaj is a seeker of essence. He saw this essence in Kali Yuga, so he forgave. He did not kill him like that. So Parikshit Maharaj also took care of the foolish people, and all the sages were very inspired by this whole narration. They said, we want to hear more Krishna Katha. Continue describing. And before saying that, they glorified the process of Krishna Katha in several verses. They said, "This we were tired with this sacrifice, but our faces have become black, but your Krishna Katha is relieving us. Right? This is more exciting than performance of sacrifice. Right? So your association is wonderful. Tolayama lavena apina swargam napunarbhavam bhagavat sanghi sanghasya martyanam kimudasishah. What can be a better blessing for a devotee, for any person, other than association of devotees? Right? Tulayama lavenapi. You take a tula. Tula is the balance. Right? You weigh all the vegetables and other things, right? Tula you take. And tulayama lavenapi. Take association of a devotee, a fraction of a moment of association of devotee, and put it on one side. Right? That is a small aspect of Bhakti Yoga. One of the aspects of Bhakti Yoga is association of devotees. And even in that aspect also, you take only fraction of a moment of association of devotee and put it on one side. And on the other side, you take this, Swargam, heaven you put, he said. And Apunarbhavam, liberation also you put. And this will go down and this will go up. And what are this Swargam and Apunarbhavam, heaven and liberation? they are the ultimate results of the karma process and jnana process. A small fraction of an element of bhakti yoga is millions of times more superior to the ultimate results of jnana yoga and karma yoga. That is the glory of bhakti. This tulayama lavenapi, this is not only glorifying the association of devotees, it is actually a wonderful glorification of entire process of bhakti yoga. Right? Bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kimutasishaha. What else could be a better benediction for a person than devotees association? No one can compare. So the next they say, they were glorifying the association of Svata Goswami. Then they continue glorifying the process of Krishna Katha. Ko nama trupyet rasavit kathaya mahattamaikanta parayanasya hare rudaram nantam gunanam agunasya jigmur yogeshwaraya bhavapadna mukhyaha. Who can be satisfied by hearing sufficient Krishna Katha? Even great yogeshwaras like Bhava, Shiva, Padma means Brahma, they also take pleasure in glorifying the Lord, and they can also never be satiated by hearing the glories of the Lord. And further they say the qualities of a speaker and a hearer and the subject matter of Krishna Katha. That is, Tanno Bhavanvai Bhagavat Pradhano. You are Bhagavat Pradhana. The one and only object of your life is Krishna. Means the quality of a speaker, Svata Goswami, is Bhagavat Pradhana. Next, Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham. What is the quality of subject matter? Krishna's magnanimous activities. And what is the quality of hearers, the sages? Susrushatamno. We are very eager to hear. The quality of a hearer is eagerness. Quality of a speaker is to have Krishna as one and only object of his life. Quality of subject matter is Krishna's magnanimous activities. When this combination is there, that is very glorious and deadly combination, that will continue to inspire people to practice bhakti yoga for thousands of years to come. So they discussed it like this 5000 years back. We are doing the same discussion now. So Parikshit Maharaj attained the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing the narrations of the unlimited. We want to hear. And they also glorify the, and Svata Goswami glorifies the power of holy name and Vaishnava Seva. And he says, although I am born low-born person, still because of Vaishnava's association, I am given this opportunity to speak Krishna Katha also. And he glorifies the Supreme Lord. And he will say, I will describe whatever you want me to describe as far as my knowledge goes. Just like birds can fly in the sky as far as their flying capacity goes. Now he continues to narrate. Once, Parikshit Maharaj goes for hunting in the forest. Then he feels very thirsty and fatigued. He goes to the hermitage of Shamika Rishi, and Shamika Rishi was absorbed in trance. Parikshit Maharaj felt neglected, and he said, I am a king and I am in need of some water, and he is not attending to me. He became very angry and he picked up a lifeless snake and garlanded it and placed it around the shoulder of Shamika Rishi, and he left. And on his way back, he was contemplating, how could I do this, such an activity, such an abominable activity? He was lamenting. Meanwhile, and we need to understand, Prabhupada writes in all these purports of this chapter, many purports, that this whole incident has happened only by the will of Krishna. There is no other reason why this incident could have been taken place. Because Parikshit Maharaj could tolerate the heat of Brahmastra even within the womb. How can he not tolerate the urge to drink a glass of water when he is grown up, when he is like an emperor, when he is so powerful? So that happened only because of Lord's will. And even if he could not tolerate his thirst, how can he insult a sage like that? He is the greatest protector of Brahmanical culture and cows and God consciousness. How can he act like this towards a Brahmana? That also indicates that this whole incident is orchestrated by the Lord. Right? Next, this whole incident was communicated to the small boy, Shamikrishi's son, Sringi. Then Sringi hears and he becomes very proud and puffed up, and he says, how can the watchdogs desire to come inside the house and dine with the master? We Brahmanas are like masters. All the Kshatriyas who are the rulers and administrators who are taking care of the kingdom are like watchdogs. How can he come to our hermitage and ask for water, and when he does not get water, he can insult my father? So he became very angry. Because Krishna is not there, these administrators are behaving very whimsically. But Brahmanas are there. So he misutilized his Brahmanical power and cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days. May Parikshit Maharaj be dead just in 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. He releases the curse without knowing anything. That is how Kali Yuga began, when a Brahmana misused his Brahmanical power. Then the degradation of Brahmanical community began. Then he came back to his house and started crying. And Shamikrishi opened his eyes and said, "Why are you crying?" Then he told the whole thing. One king came and insulted you, my dear father, like that. Then Shamikrishi just saw this snake and then threw it away. And then, why did you curse him? Right, first, before even asking his son, he saw the snake and he threw it. He did not pay any heed to it. He neglected it. And then he immediately asked the boy. Then boy told him, and Shamikrishi regretted so much that a faultless king, an exalted king, was cursed like this. He became very remorseful and he prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, this boy is very ignorant. He doesn't know anything. Please forgive this fellow." And he called one of his disciples called Gauramukha and had sent a message to Parikshit Maharaj. "You go and give this message to Parikshit Maharaj that he has been cursed to die in 7 days so that he can make necessary preparations." Then this, in this context, this beautiful verse comes. Tiraskrita vipralabdhaha shapta kshupta hatavapi nasyatat pratikurvanti tad bhaktaha prabhavopihi. So our devotees are very tolerant. Even if they are cursed or even if they are killed, they don't take any revenge. So Parikshit Maharaj at his kingdom, he was regretting his mistake. In this context only, Prabhupada writes that all the accidental sins committed by a devotee are forgiven in the fire of repentance, or burnt in the fire of repentance. Parikshit Maharaj was honestly repenting. And he is not simply repenting. He said, "I am supposed to be a king who is supposed to protect Brahmanical culture, but I have offended Brahmanical culture, so I must be punished." So he expected a punishment, but he did not stop there. He desired a punishment. Expecting a calamity when you do some mistake is at one level. "Oh, I have done some mistake, something is going to happen now, some reaction I will get." But he desired that reaction. "Let that calamity come upon me. Let me be punished." Why? Because Parikshit Maharaj is a responsible king. He thought that if I don't get the punishment, my future descendants may suffer. Or I will be encouraged to commit such mistakes again and again. So I must be punished for this activity. So he was thinking like that. As he was thinking, Gauramukha came and informed Parikshit Maharaj, "You have been cursed to die in 7 days. You do the needful." Now Parikshit Maharaj regretted so much, but he never went and said sorry to Shamikrishi. He was regretting that, I insulted a sage, innocent sage. He was absorbed in trance. That was not his mistake, not to give me a glass of water. But it was not his mistake. So I am remorseful, let me go and beg forgiveness from him. Let me say sorry. He never considered doing that. Why? Because when Gauramukha came and informed Parikshit Maharaj, that information, that message of curse was given to Parikshit Maharaj with such intense regret that Parikshit Maharaj could make out that the sage is already regretful. Right? So more than the insult committed to the sage was more concerned that Parikshit Maharaj was inappropriately punished. So Shamikrishi was regretful, embarrassed. Now if Parikshit Maharaj goes and says, "Sorry, please forgive me, my dear sage," that would increase the embarrassment of Shamikrishi. So Parikshit Maharaj was not thinking that he was inappropriately cursed. An injustice has been done to him. He was thinking more about the emotions and feelings of Shamikrishi. So Shamika Rishi would be embarrassed if I go and say, sorry, it's okay, I will not go, I will not embarrass him. And I never wanted any nullification of this curse. I can accept this curse. This is not a curse, this is a blessing in disguise. This causes indifference towards worldly activities. I can give up this kingdom and focus on full-time devotional service. So, I accept this curse, and he did not go and beg forgiveness. On the other hand, yesterday we were discussing about Chitraketu's episode. Chitraketu was cursed to become a demon. Parvati cursed him. And Chitraketu came down from the airplane, went and spoke few verses, gave a clarification to Mother Parvati. Parvati, my dear mother, I never meant anything wrong. I have full respect for your husband. Because when a husband is insulted, wife would feel bad. So, Chitraketu was concerned about that. Oh, Parvati might take it otherwise. I was only concerned that common people might misunderstand Lord Shiva. So, out of concern, I gave a feedback to him. But Parvati considered it offense. So, I have to go and give a clarification to Parvati. So he said, my dear mother, I never meant anything wrong. But whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong. And may I be forgiven for it. And I don't want nullification of the curse. So why Parikshit Maharaj did not say sorry? Because Shamika Rishi would feel embarrassed. But Chitraketu said sorry to Parvati because Parvati was agitated. Parvati was disturbed by the behavior of Parikshit Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj. So it's the responsibility of Chitraketu to pacify her, to clarify to her. So in both cases, one person said sorry after being cursed, another person did not say sorry after being cursed. Both of these exalted Vaishnavas were more concerned about the emotions and feelings of the persons who cursed them than the injustice that is done to him. Yes, I did some mistake. How can you give such a heavy punishment? I have to die or I have to become a demon? Both of them did not speak a single word about their curse. They were only concerned about the emotions of the other Vaishnava who is hurt. Right? And Parikshit Maharaj also did not gather sympathy from anyone else. Right? He did not gather sympathy from other Brahmanas. And even Chitraketu also. Nobody pointed out Chitraketu in the whole assembly. So many sages were sitting, Shiva was sitting. Chitraketu did not go and beg sympathy from Shiva. See, Parvati is cursing me like this. Right? Can you just tell her? Right? So he was not gathering some support for him also. He did not do anything like that. I accept the curse, I am sorry. Here I accept the curse, I will not be say sorry because he will feel embarrassed. So he went ahead. So he retired. He went on the bank of Ganges. He gave the kingdom to Janamejaya. And when king came there, as if announced, all the sages gathered at the bank of Ganges just to see that this Parikshit Maharaj is going back to Godhead and he's going to discuss Bhagavatam with Sukadeva Goswami. If we go to the bank of Ganges, we will get an opportunity to attend that meeting. So all of them came there without any message or advertisement. So Parikshit Maharaj said, I am not at all afraid of whatever magical thing that the Brahmana sage has created. Let the bird come and bite me, no problem. I have only one desire, to hear Krishna Katha. Gayatha Vishnu Gatha. And I don't mind taking birth again also. I am going to die in 7 days, but I don't mind taking birth again. But if I take birth again, I want 3 facilities. Punascha bhuya bhagavatyanante ratih prasangasya tadashrayeshu mahatsu yamyam uvayami srishtim maitriyastu sarvatra namo dvijebhyaha. If I have to take birth again, may I have rati for Lord Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? Bhagavatyanante ratihi. Then prasangasya tadashrayeshu. May I have association of those who have taken shelter of that Lord. And may I have maitri, friendly relationships with living entities in general. So these 3 are my desires. I don't want liberation from this conditioned existence. All the demigods praised Parikshit and showered flowers, and the sages approved the decision of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj decided, I will fast till my death. I just want to hear Krishna Katha. Then he asked a question to the sages. What is the immediate duty of a person in all circumstances, especially of a person who is about to die. How to live, how to leave. Right? Then Sukadeva Goswami arrived there as if he was called by someone. So Sukadeva Goswami came and all the sages, when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, all the sages were not actually in a clear mind how to answer his question. All of them were looking towards the direction of Sukadeva Goswami. Let him come and answer. So when Sukadeva Goswami came, because this is all Krishna's arrangement only. So Krishna came, Sukadeva Goswami came, he was received nicely, he was offered a nice seat, and Parikshit Maharaj praises Sukadeva Goswami. Yesham samsmaranat pumsam sadhyah shudhyanti vaigrahaha kim punardashana sparsha pada saucasanadibhi. So Parikshit Maharaj's attitude towards Brahmanas is, we kings are supposed to be refuse, that is supposed to be kept at far away distance. We are like refuse. Just like when someone enters house, he would wash his feet and then enter the house. That water that washed one's feet will not be preserved. That is going into the drainage. So like that, Brahmanas would treat Kshatriyas as water that washed their feet. And considering like that, Brahmanas would never come to Kshatriyas only. Right? Even if they come, they stay for a while and then go away. Because they are absorbed in politics and other material enjoyment. So we are Brahmanas, we are supposed to focus on other things. So that is supposed to be Brahmana. And out of humility, Parikshit Maharaj is saying all this. Right? That is not Brahmana's disposition towards Parikshit Maharaj. But Parikshit Maharaj, out of his humility, he is saying like that. We are like refuse that is supposed to be kept at a far distance, but you have come all the way, right, just to give us mercy. And just by remembering Sukadeva Goswami, one can be completely purified. What to speak of having darshan of him, being able to touch him or wash his lotus feet. So we are extremely fortunate. And why did I get this fortune? Because of my close connection with Pandavas. Or because of my little connection with the Pandavas. So Parikshit Maharaj had absolutely no grudges towards anyone, although he is in such kind of predicament. So Parikshit Maharaj was grateful to the Brahmanas for coming all the way to support him at the time of his departure. Parikshit Maharaj was grateful to even the person who gave the curse. He was grateful to the curse. He saw the curse as blessing. Parikshit Maharaj was grateful to the Pandavas. Right? Parikshit Maharaj was grateful to Sukadeva Goswami for coming to enlighten him. Parikshit Maharaj was grateful to Krishna for orchestrating this whole scene. He was not maintaining any grudges towards anyone. So he asked the same question to Sukadeva Goswami also. Yat shrotavyam atho japyam yat kartavyam nirbhi prabho smartavyam bhajaniyam va bruhi yadva viparyayam. What should one hear? What should one chant? What should one do during his lifetime? And especially when one is about to die. Prabhupada says the second question is more important because everyone is going to die. Right? So he asked this question and Sukadeva Goswami began to reply. So that is the beginning of, that is the ending of first canto. Answer is second canto.